All right. Welcome, everyone, to this week's investment review. It's April 14th, and we've been seeing a lot of strength in the market. From major index overview, the S&P and EFA are still pushing out to new highs. Small caps are consolidating in here, but really remain above support levels where we would be worried if they broke those support levels. But their small caps are still above that level. And then commodities are starting to turn up. So that is a good sign as well. In terms of our indicators, one thing we'd like to just touch on, and this was in our daily equity report the other day, is the 10-week SPX really registered another breadth thrust. So when that gets above 90, the market is so overbought that it's actually a bullish thing. And this doesn't happen a lot. The returns looking out 1 year from these breadth thrusts that have happened in the past are generally very good. If you're a subscriber, you can go on to the Dorsey Wright site and pull up that table of returns, and you can see how the market behaves after these breadth thrusts. So what we're seeing now, and especially with something like the breadth thrust, right, where the market really does get incredibly overbought, we start to hear chatter about a top and people looking for all sorts of things that are going to signal that we've made the top and the market's going to turn around. But the reality is what we're seeing now are indexes going either to all-time highs or just consolidating at high levels. Our indicators are predominantly positive. We've seen the breadth thrust, for example, and a number of other things that are very bullish. So right now, things look very bullish. You know, we need to let the top really develop. So don't fall into that trap of looking for the top. You need to let that develop. Right now, we don't see any signs of that. And so it's when we're looking out at markets, it's really a bullish situation with a lot of our risk indicators showing that this can continue. So when we look at it also from a an asset allocation standpoint, Jay, and we pull up Dolly, there's, you know, again, this is really signaling that equities are really a strong place to be in terms of asset class allocation.
Yeah, equities continue to be strong. And from the perspective of looking at just the pure number of buy signals U.S. equities has, I mean, that continues to increase and has increased this month, adding a couple of new signals after moving up to that number one spot specifically for U.S. equities back in August. U.S. equities continues to pick up there. International equities as well continues to, so far this month, has picked up a couple of new buy signals. Commodities still sits in there at number three. That's pulled back a little bit, but a lot of that stuff has been consolidating, really, to your point earlier. So nothing major from a major breakdown, you know, specifically crude oil. And even today, is you're seeing a resurgence there as crude is popping back up above 62, close to $63. So really, when you look at Dolly from that perspective, it continues to be a positive sign for the global equity market as well. International equity sitting in there at number two. And then underneath the surface of some of the sectors, while there's been a ton of changes in the sector rankings, they have been relatively stable over the course of the past couple of weeks. Energy has pulled back a bit in terms of its buy signals, but still sits in there at number two. Consumer discretionary is up there at number one. And financials in there at number three. And so, you know, you continue to see a certainly more of a risk on appetite as it relates to not only the asset classes, but as well as the strength underneath of those asset classes, equities, as well as the bond market included, as you see things like high yield, things like preferreds, convertibles up there with respect to the fixed income market. So to the point earlier, U.S. equities remains the number one ranked asset class, and that's where we would continue to focus our overweights within portfolios and overall allocations.
All right. Thanks a lot, Jay. And looking at some of these changes that are occurring under the hood, we can look at our asset class group scores and bring Steve on to kind of run through what he's seeing there.
Thank you, John. This week, we are still on a primarily offensive and bullish phase. Not a ton of changes over the week, but a good opportunity to reaffirm where we've come from. On the slide today, we can look on the left and see where we were 6 months ago near the election. where the asset classes were in formation, where growth is dominant and value is a laggard group. And I want to focus on the black lines on the slide. Starting at the top, we can see that the money market and the core percentile ranks are roughly exactly or near where they were 6 months ago. So no change in the overall dynamics of how strong the core or the money market are. Another point to make is that the S&P 500 funds are roughly ranked at 4 amongst the major asset styles in the U.S., the same as they were at the election, the same as it is now. Another point to consider is that the average score of all U.S. equity funds diversified or on our system, gathering together all equity funds of any kind, have nearly identical scores as where they were 6 months ago. So in the sense of all equity funds, the score is identical. To say that, it means that the framework of the equity offense that we've been on is roughly very stable and identical to 6 months ago. Now let's focus on the colored lines, which would tend to show a fair amount of rotation in some of these asset classes. And two pairs that are worth reiterating is the decline of a mid-growth and large growth asset classes to a much lower score than where they were at the election, in contrast to a score of the small core and the small value, which are a much higher score, much higher ranking than where they were back 6 months ago. This shift by itself has caused some inventory shifting amongst possibly some models that advisors run, or if you're subscribers to our website, you're on the track of this theme of some of the asset classes shifting. But I wanted to take the moment to say that primarily the market is in an identical framework as it was 6 months ago. And it's simply a move of smaller versus larger or value versus growth in this paradigm, which is important to keep up with. Certainly as we move into the seasonal quarter of May, what types of changes here will impact inventory. But the market itself, the framework is solid like it was 6 months ago. And then now we're simply tracing the rotations that are going on. I say all that to lead up to this point, not on this slide, is when you check out the comparison of all value funds and all growth funds on the Dorsey Wright system, their scores tied and became equal on March 31st, about 2 weeks ago, at a score of 370. So that made it more interesting as to see who's really going to win, that value versus growth paradigm. And you've got a lot of evidence that maybe it could go one way or the other. I will say that since March 31st, the growth funds are starting to tick back up after a pretty good hit in score. And we might envision mid-growth and large growth getting back above the score of 4 sooner than later. But that is a story you want to keep on top of. Not so much is the market okay, but which asset classes are in leadership and where is that value and growth paradigm for you to follow in order to bring better enhancement to your investment and modeling efforts. John, back to you.
All right, thanks a lot, Steve. And Steve showed how some of those groups have moved around, and that really has been reflected in our momentum spreads. Again, this is very similar to what we were talking about last week. Those spreads have been pretty sloppy over the last 6 months or so, but we're starting to see them turn around. We're starting to see some of the that old leadership is strong enough that it is becoming new leadership and getting into some of the higher ranked momentum quintiles, and that causes these to turn around and the momentum spreads start to perform better. So that's a very welcome sign, and we think that momentum could be a very good performer looking out over the next couple months. In terms of the dollar, again, we have seen the dollar bounce pretty hard off of that downtrend line on the quarter point chart, on the point and figure chart. Not much direction here on the dollar. There was a little rally and then you know, a pullback. We'll see what direction we have here, but there's nothing that really indicates one way or the other right now, whether we're going to get a very strong or a very weak dollar environment. So moving on to U.S. equities, we'll start with styles and factors and bring on Joe to talk about those.
Yeah, thanks, John. And as you can see in the top of the screen, we really haven't had any changes in our Dolly rankings over the past several weeks. When it comes to the size and styles, we still have small, then mid, and then large. I will say the big story, you know, over the past several weeks, as Steve already mentioned, has been this resurgence in growth. You know, pretty much since the end of March, Steve used that March 31st cutoff, but even a little bit before that, we started to see these growth funds start to turn around. And not saying that value's out of favor by any means, it's just that we've seen a lot more strength in that growth camp rather than that value camp over the last, you know, 30 days or so. So that's definitely something to keep an eye on moving forward. And then, you know, other than that, size and style rankings haven't changed too much on the Dolly tool, as Steve mentioned also, but we've seen a little bit of changes on the asset class group scores page. But if we want to move over to the factors, the big change here has been momentum has really rebounded well. That MSCI USA Momentum Factor ETF, symbol MTOM, is back well above, well, not well above, but comfortably above a score of 3.0 with a fund score of 3.24 now, with a nice rally to start the month of April. So we'll see if that can continue moving forward. You know, you would suggest a lot of that has to do with that growthy securities doing very well over the past several weeks. Value still in strong standing, just, you know, over the last couple of weeks, growth has done better, but in the intermediary term, value is still leading there. Quality continues to be a very strong area of the market. That actually, out of those four groups there, the quality ETF symbol QUAL actually has the highest fund score with a 4.71 fund score. So that's definitely an acceptable place to be in the market. And then lastly is low vol. That's begun to creep back up a little bit. We'll see if it can continue moving forward. But for now, it's still a relative underweight there when it comes to factors. And with that, I'll pass it back to you, John.
All right. Thanks a lot, Joe. And we'll move into other domestic equity areas and start with sectors. We'll bring Ian on to talk about technology.
Great. Thank you, John. So in looking at the technology space, it hasn't shown that much change from a broad relative strength perspective in the Dolly sector rankings. It still sits there in that fifth position and hasn't really changed much from a buy signal perspective over the course of the past couple weeks. However, in looking at the score perspective and looking at the different sector groups on the asset class group scores page, we have seen a bit more of a resurgence in the average group score of technology. It moved above the 4.0 score line again earlier this month, crossing back above the 4.13 average. So it still sits behind many of the same groups that it sits behind on the Dolly tool, but I think that speaks to the general improvement in breadth in the market that we've been discussing this morning. In looking at the reasons for some of this resurgence, we've seen some of the larger companies within the tech space move significantly higher over the course of the past week or two. This has been shown through one of the bigger, more technology-focused, although not all technology funds. QQQ hit a new all-time high earlier this week, actually with movement yesterday. And in looking at the two largest holdings within QQQ, is Apple and Microsoft, making up about 20% of that fund. Apple moved back to a buy signal last Thursday. Microsoft also hit a new all-time high earlier this week. So definitely seeing some of those larger names show some more significant outperformance over the course of the past week. Another area to keep an eye out for, obviously, the semiconductor and the equipment manufacturing spaces continue to lead the way from within the relative strength rankings. We are seeing a bit of a movement higher from the software space, though. The bullish percent or the positive trend indicator for the economic software group ticker on our platform is PTECSOFT. Did actually reverse back up into a column of X's. It crossed below 50% with the drawdown in technology and then just reversed back up to a chart level of 54% with movement yesterday. So the semiconductor and hardware spaces have significantly higher readings, but definitely an area to keep an eye out there to see if that movement higher can be sustained. Seeing a couple stocks in that space to keep an eye out for. One being Intuit Services, ticker INTU. They do a lot of the tax software with TurboTax. So even though the tax deadline was pushed back a bit from tomorrow, we're seeing that broke out to a quadruple top break last week. And then CrowdStrike Holdings, ticker CRWD, has given four consecutive buy signals since late March and just moved out of oversold territory. It's a suitable 3 for 5er and ranked in the top half of the software sector matrix. So another area to keep an eye out there. And with that, I'll throw it back to you, John.
All right. Thanks a lot, Ian. And that tax deadline moving back has been nothing but good news for procrastinators like myself. So I'm sure I'm not the only one out there that hasn't done their taxes yet. So I'll have to get on that. So we'll go on to communication services, consumer discretionary and utilities, and bring on Sarah for that.
Thanks, John. So as Jay mentioned earlier, we've really seen the signal count in DALI remain relatively steady over the last week. And this remains no exception here for communication services, which remains seventh in DALI with 132 tally signals in its favor. We did see the group or the sector gain two signals over the last week, but again, it's been pretty relatively steady and it hasn't caused any sort of ranking changes with communication services. But looking at XLC, that's the communication services select spider ETF, we saw that the fund hit an all-time high last Wednesday on April 7th at 77, remains well above its bullish support line. It's now its seventh consecutive buy signal and has that fund score of 4.72. So we're seeing strength again from the broad perspective. Within XLC, I did a little digging, and out of the 21 names, 15 of those stocks are on point and figure buy signals, and 19 of 21 of those are trading in positive trends. So we are seeing, the majority of those names remain strong. 14 of them are high RS names at this time, so 3s, 4s, and 5s. In the asset class group scores page and the sector view, it remains 8th in the green zone with an average score of 3.94, which really was no change from last week, but does remain in that green zone right below that blue zone, which would be a 4.0. So we'll watch for that over the next few weeks. But subsectors of leadership, publishing remains the strongest subsector group right now, and broadcasting also remains ranked highly, which we've seen over the last few weeks. And on the other hand, the integrated telecommunication services group is one of the weakest. So, we've seen, I've talked about it over the past few weeks, but the dispersion within the sector. So while the sector itself is moving higher, there are those areas that, we do want to make sure that we're avoiding. But one stock of leadership that I noted is News Corp, which NWSA. It is one of the top 10 performing S&P stocks so far this year, up 45%. It is a 5 for 5er. Some other names that we saw move higher over the last week, Facebook, Twitter, and Google or Alphabet, they all hit all-time highs over the last week. We also saw Netflix move back into a positive trend. So this is more of what Joseph mentioned. We've seen those growth-related names pick up the near-term steam, particularly some of these FANG names. So moving into the cyclical sector, again, 205 signals in its favor remains at the top of the DALI rankings, which is where we've seen it sit, for the past few weeks. We have seen that the margin, the spread between consumer cyclicals and energy widened to 24 signals. And the story behind that widening is more about the energy sector losing steam versus the cyclicals really gaining. It has picked up one signal over the last week, while energy has lost 7. And then just to put that into perspective, over the last month, cyclicals has gained 2 signals and we've seen energy lose 41 signals. So we'll continue to watch that. But again, consumer cyclical sits at the top. The XLY, so the Consumer Discretionary Select Spider Fund, hit a new all-time high today, along with the broader market, with a move to 180. Before today's move, the fund was up about 2.85% over the last week, so outperforming the broad market, which was up, the S&P was up a little over 1.6% over the last week. So we have seen that fund score moved to 4.54 for XLY, 3 weeks of positive weekly momentum, 2 months of positive momentum, and about 62% overbought. So the fund remains actionable at current levels if you're looking for cyclicals exposure. And just as I did with the communications fund, I looked into XLY, and 51 of 61 stocks in XLY are trading on buy signals. And 22 of those buy signals came just over the last month alone. And notably, 100% of the stocks in XLY, so all 61, are trading in positive trends. And 37 of those names are high RS names, so 3s, 4s, and 5s. Looking at the asset class group scores page, which again compares those fund groups based on average fund score, cyclicals ranks 6th in the sector view in that blue zone with a 4.30 fund score, which is, relatively speaking, where it sat last week. So no real change there. And the subsectors of leadership are the same story from last week as well. So the housewares and specialties, home furnishings, autos and parts, and we have seen hotels and resorts move back up. You know, it's kind of remained down in that middle area, but it has moved up as the beach and the reopening names kind of pick up steam. And just some stocks of leadership that I wanted to bring to your attention today. LB Brands is the top performing stock so far in the S&P 500 year to date, up 80%, and was the best performing cyclical stock of the last week, up 6%. So we have also seen strength from Gap. Gap's the fourth best performing stock so far this year, up 60%. So seeing some of those retail names related to the cyclical sector outperform so far. Amazon is also one of the top performing cyclical stocks of the last week, and it remains off of its all-time highs, but it's back in a positive trend with positive weekly momentum. So again, that back to those FANG names that we've seen definitely pick up steam over the last week or so. And then one last stock I've mentioned is CarMax, symbol KMX. That is in the process of a shakeout pattern. It has formed that double top, gave a sell signal, and has since reversed back up into X's. And that shakeout would complete with a triple top at 138, which would mark a new 52-week high. Moving on to the utilities sector, this story remains much of the same, where we've seen the sector itself remain in the basement of Dolly with 61 signals in its favor. We did not really see any signal changes over the last week. And as it stands today, the sector sits 17 signals below the 10th ranked position, which as of today is the Staples sector. So still seeing that relative weakness. XLU remains on a buy signal that was given last week, but it remains well below its pre-COVID-19 sell-off high of 71. And so far this year is up a little over 4% year to date. So while we've seen, again, those independent power producer names really outperform, so stocks like AES, we're just really seeing some general weakness as the other subsectors within the sector really rank towards the bottom of those subsector rankings from relative strength perspective. So like as we've said over the last few months, this is a sector we would continue to underweight or avoid. However, those small pockets of leadership like AES are there. So if you are gaining exposure to the sector, just make sure that you're looking at those high attribute names that are trading in positive trends. John, back to you.
All right. Thanks a lot, Sarah. We'll move on to healthcare and financials and bring Joe back for that.
Thanks, Sean. So, starting off with healthcare here, the story is pretty much the same as it has been over the last several weeks. It remains an underweight or avoid altogether. And on the asset class group scores page, healthcare and biotech both have average group scores below 3.0, which carries the same weight as avoid, just like it is in Dolly right now, with very high negative score directions there. So it's definitely a place to not have a lot of exposure to. Broad exposure, really avoid. There's some individual names that you may be able to find that will work for you, but broadly speaking, there isn't much. Johnson & Johnson, the news with their vaccine resulting in a few few blood clot cases. That has negatively impacted the stock slightly. It printed another O yesterday, and that's one of the largest holdings in XLV, which is that select healthcare ETF. So that's something to watch too. You know, we've mentioned that XLV has held up pretty well, despite, you know, broadly speaking, the sector being pretty poor because of those large cap names at the top that carry a lot of weighting. And one of those is Johnson & Johnson. So that's something to keep an eye on moving forward if you do own XLV for healthcare exposure. And Johnson & Johnson did go from a 3 to a 2 over the past week. So not a great outlook there. And with that, we'll move over to financials. And this is really the fun one for the day. We've got a lot of earnings this week. Wells Fargo, JP Morgan, Goldman Sachs all had really good earnings reports. JP Morgan initially traded down. I believe it's still down today, but Wells Fargo and Goldman Sachs have done really well on the day with their earnings beats. And then with the rest of the week, we still have some big names reporting Thursday and Friday are BlackRock, Citigroup, Bank of America, Morgan Stanley, and Truist. And we'll likely cover those a little bit next week when they have their earnings come out. You know, financials are still, broadly speaking, an area of strength, something to be overweight. In Dolly, they're ranked third on the asset class group scores page. Financial and banks is the top ranked sector there. So definitely a lot of strength in the area. There's been some stagnation over the last month that may have to do with the 10-year pretty much bouncing between 1.6 and 1.75% over the last month. We'll see if it can break out in either direction. You would expect a breakout to the upside, to the top side would be a benefit for financials. A break lower may be a bit of a headwind. But for now, it still remains in strong standing. It's definitely an overweight in your portfolios. And with that, I'll pass it back to you, John.
All right. Thanks a lot, Joe. We'll move on to industrials and bring Will on for that.
Appreciate it. Yeah, so like mentioned last week, I'm going to just start off by saying the industrial sector still looks strong from a technical standpoint, and it will largely remain an overweight in our view for now. Now, also similar last week, we didn't really see any material movement in its sector rankings, but it does remain in the top four of Dolly, as well as the top four on the asset class group scores page, and it's sitting just above the S&P 500 funds group there. So those two confirming some broad strength for the space. Worth noting that industrials is actually about the third best performing sector on the year thus far, and it's still in about the upper third in terms of performance for the past month as well as the past week. And that said, if you're still underweight or you're still concentrated from before, like earlier in the year when it was highly ranked, it fell out of favor and we kind of concentrate into those high RS places. If you're still exclusively in those high RS places, we are seeing breadth widen. And I was just looking up here and it turns out that of the members of XLI, so that Spider Industrials Fund, over 70% are on RS buy signals, versus the market, 94% are on buy signals on their trend charts and 97% are on overall positive trends. So a lot of breadth in the space indicating that you can do some broader shopping. That said, I did just want to reiterate that the machinery subsector or the machinery group as a whole spans a couple listed on the page as cooled, but still remained a strong place to be. Industrial transports also deserves a shout out. Air freight, land transports, railroads, trucking, many of those hold high RS names. And then your logistics and airlines group are also going to remain a key spot to watch going forward for some other long exposure. But by and large, the way of the evidence is positive here. Now, moving on to the staples or your non-cyclicals, we did see a small ranking change among the laggards, I will say, staples being involved in that as it fell to the 10th Dolly rank from the 9th Dolly rank. And although this was by a hairline of a signal count, If anything, this would really just further the sector as an underweight in our view. That said, the staples group or the non-cyclicals, it sits among the middle on the asset class group scores page. So also really not demonstrating notable leadership. And it does have a negative score direction there as well and is being outpaced by many other sectors. The staples group is the worst performing sector on the year with a gain just over 1%. And it was also among the worst performers over the past week. So despite the relatively weak signal or sector ranking, its weak performance, any long exposure here, we would say it would be best concentrated, and your pockets of strength are still going to be your food distributors and personal product space. Finally, for today, I'm just going to talk about real estate, the real estate sector, I would say. And along with staples, there was a bit of a scuffle in the bottom of the basement of Dolly. Real estate came on top of that. So it actually edged up to 9th versus its prior rank of 10th. And the group also has been able to sustain its average group score north of 3 on the asset class group scores page, which is that kind of technically acceptable line of demarcation. And it does have a moderately strong group score, all things considered. But that said, the group is still lagging by and large and has a long way to go before demonstrating notable leadership. But we have seen some near-term pickup, and that could be something to keep an eye on. But by and large, we'd be underweight the area. And if in anything, maybe some of the catch-up candidates could be worth a look. Strength is seen in that real estate services subsector. And there's a fair amount of high attribute names in there that could be worth some attention. But by and large, weight of the evidence is negative for real estate like staples, industrials being a leader of these three here, John. So thanks and back to you.
All right. Thanks a lot, Will. We'll move on to materials and energy and bring Jamie on for that.
Thanks, John. Materials remains ranked 6th in Dolly, so in that equal weight zone. XLB does maintain a favorable fund score north of 4.0 and remains on a buy signal. So no signs that the sector is weakening. As it has been, industrial producers, copper, steel, chemicals, remain the areas of strength within the sector. And meanwhile, precious metals, especially gold, continue to be the area of weakness as they have been for some time. We did see potentially a positive development yesterday. When the CPI numbers came in, month over month numbers came in higher than they have since about 2012, and did see some positive movement out of gold and silver on that news. We haven't seen too much movement, even when we've seen high inflation numbers from precious metals. Although it's 1 day's movement, so not enough to say that there's going to be a change in trend. And gold is down once again today. So continuing to see weakness within precious metals and continuing to see strength within those industrial producers, as has been the case for some time now. Moving on to energy, it remains second in the Dolly sector ranking, so clearly an overweight there. XLE, the Spider Select Energy Fund, looks to be in a period of consolidation between $47.50 and $50. It does maintain a positive 3.25 fund score. And the consolidation isn't necessarily too bad because holders of that fund are compensated with a 4.3% yield. And those who may be looking for some single stock exposure in the energy sector can check out ExxonMobil. It is a 3-for-5 or so, a buy on our signal, a buy in our system. And it is on multiple buy signals on its point and figure chart, has pulled back to the middle of its trading band. And it also offers a 6.25% yield. So, if we continue to see some consolidation within the sector, investors in XOM are going to be compensated with that yield. XOM is expected to report earnings on 4/29. So anyone looking to initiate positions will want to be aware of that. And that's all I have on materials and energy, John.
All right, great. Thanks a lot, Jamie. And we'll bring Ian on to run through what he's seeing on the international space.
Great. Thank you, John. So as we touched on a bit, the international equity space continues to demonstrate strength by its second place ranking in the Dolly tool. As Jay said, the asset class gained a couple buy signals earlier this month, but hasn't changed much from a buy signal perspective over the course of the past week. We've also continued to see developed markets outpace the emerging market space with the broader iShares MSCI EFA ETF. Ticker EFA, up a little bit over 1% over the course of the past week. And EEM, the iShares MSCI Emerging Markets ETF, down a little bit over 1.5%. So EFA has now doubled the performance of EEM on a year-to-date basis. So interesting to see that continued outperformance on the developed market side. In looking underneath the hood at the individual country perspective, we have also continued to see the many of the developed market areas continue to rank very highly in our country relative strength matrix breakdown. We didn't see any changes to the top end, the top quartile of the matrix ranks over the course of the past week. We have seen a couple changes in the mid zone, though. Chile was the most improved area since the end of March. It's moved up 4 places to its current position of 13th, so just a few spots out of that top quartile. The area that's seen the most decline has been Indonesia. It moved from a rank of 13th down to a rank of 22nd. So the Indonesian space definitely continuing to see deterioration with the kind of broader emerging markets and some of the areas over there in Asia. But other than that, the story has been really more the same here, John.
All right, great. Thanks a lot, Ian. And we'll move on to fixed income and then commodities and bring Jamie back on for that.
Thanks, John. There's been not much movement in terms of treasury yields over the last week. The 10-year U.S. Treasury hit 1.75% for a second time earlier this month and then reversed down. And it ticked down slightly on Tuesday, currently sits at 1.625% on its default chart. And the 30-year yield index remains in a potential triangle pattern. So not much movement there. Overall, of course, the trend remains for higher rates. We haven't seen any sell signals or any even initial signs that would indicate maybe rates are starting to come back down or reverse that trend, but haven't seen any more climbing recently. As they have been, convertible bonds, high yield bonds, and floating rate bonds remain the areas of strength within the fixed income market. Meanwhile, long duration bonds, treasuries, and investment grade bonds remain the areas of weakness, as they are the most sensitive to those rising rates. Moving on to commodities, crude oil has been relatively range bound recently, but we're seeing strong gains today as it's up about 4.25% on the increased inflation numbers that came out yesterday and a larger than expected draw on crude when the EIA inventory numbers came out earlier today. And with that move, crude has now gotten above 63 or hit above 63, which will reverse it up and put it back on a buy signal on its default chart. So, seeing some signs here that we may see some continued movement in crude oil, continued upward movement after it had kind of taken a breather and fell into a sell signal last month. Despite those higher inflation numbers, gold and silver both remain on those sell signals. So not enough movement yesterday to get either one back on a buy signal. Gold remains in a negative trend. So despite these higher realized inflation and higher inflation expectations, not seeing that translate into higher gold and silver prices. Lumber exceeded a previous all-time high from February earlier this month, and then it hit another new all-time high yesterday. It is now up over 36% in the last 30 days, and that comes on the heels of 2020 when it was up 115%. This appears to be driven in large part by the housing market. According to a recent article by Bloomberg, half of the homes on the U.S. market are selling within a week. As long as that trend continues, would not be surprising to continue to see upward pressure on the price of lumber, even though it's already at some very elevated levels. Meanwhile, aluminum gave a third consecutive buy signal yesterday when it completed a bullish triangle. It is up 14.4% year to date. So seeing some, you know, strong performance out of, you know, construction and building related commodities like aluminum, lumber. And meanwhile, you know, the precious metals, which we typically think of as the haven for inflation, have not performed well. And then also would be remiss not to mention Bitcoin, continuing to see gains there. It broke 64,000 yesterday. It's now up over 800% over the trailing year. And then Coinbase, which allows, you know, investors to purchase Bitcoin along with other cryptocurrencies, is set to IPO on the NASDAQ today under the ticker COIN with a $65 billion valuation. So continuing to see Bitcoin and, you know, other cryptocurrencies gaining in mainstream acceptance. And that's all I have on fixed income and commodities, John.
All right. Thanks a lot, Jamie. So this week is much the same as last week. Things do look bullish. We want you to be overweight in equities on the fixed income side. Obviously, those areas that are linked to stronger economy or a stronger equity market are doing well. So things like high yield and convertibles on the treasury side. Obviously, we want you in places that are shorter duration or treasury in inflation protected securities. So we'll be back next week to talk more about any changes that we're seeing.